Everybody's a blubbering mess. They don't know how to even set the stage up on. Yeah, it's Mother's Day, isn't it? Thank you. We're good. I just got to open up and see what I'm going to speak about today. I don't know just yet. When strong mamas feel weak, there it is. Thanks for the prompt upstairs. That was a George prompting right there for me. Man, again, thank you for being here today. If you are a mama, gosh, you're awesome. You really, really are. We are so grateful that you're here with us today. We started off with this. You know you're a mama when you have signed a check with a crayon. You know you're a mama when you wish your baby monitor had a snooze button on it. Can I get an amen, ladies? Amen. Amen. You know you're a mama when you can feed a small family with the leftover French fries and goldfish in your back seat. Right? You know you're a mama when you find yourself talking in third person all the time. Like, mommy said no. You know you're a mama when you can use a baby wipe 1,000 different ways than don't involve changing a diaper. Don't involve changing a diaper. Wow. You know, this one's good. You know you're a mama when instead of singing in the shower, you find yourself saying things like this in the shower. No, you can't come in. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Just please go watch Frozen. I can hear you, but is he bleeding? Stop opening the door and just leave me alone. Right? You know your mama when actually an uninterrupted shower feels like a day at the spa. You know you're a mama when you can sing every Disney movie theme song, but you can't remember where you left your keys. You know you're a mama when, on the rare chance you get to go to the grocery store alone, you walk the aisles slowly as if you're in a museum. Can we just give all of our mamas a round of applause right now? Wow. Yeah. Mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Mothers are doctors. Mothers are psychologists, counselors, chauffeurs. They're coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities. Mothers are molders of vocabularies and shapers of attitudes, and mothers are soft voices that always, always, always seem to say, I love you, and never actually use those three words. I love you. Mothers are basically a link, in my opinion, of a child's first impression of God's love. That's a mother. I recently came across a column by Irma Bombeck that's worth sharing today called God's Creation of Mothers. I want to just read it for you today. It kind of goes like this. On the day God created mothers, he had already worked long overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. The Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She has to have 180 moving parts, all of them that are replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's to have a lap that will disappear when she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she is supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel. That's impossible. It's not the six pairs of hands that bother me, said the Lord. It's the three pairs of eyes that are most complicated. She's supposed to have one pair that sees through closed doors. And she can see through closed doors. So that whenever she says, "What are you kids doing in there?" she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she's not supposed to see, but must see. And then she's supposed to have a pair right in front of her that can look at a child that just messed up and be able to communicate love and understanding without even saying a word. "Oh, Lord, that's too much," said the angel. "You can't put that much into one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" No, I can't, said the Lord. "I'm too close to creating someone very much like myself. You see, I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 10-year-old boy to take a shower." Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, she's too soft. But the Lord quickly replied, "Oh, but she's tough. You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think," said the Lord, "but she can reason and compromise and persuade." Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek and swiftly said, "This one has a leak. I told you that you couldn't put that much into one model." And the Lord replied, "That's not a leak. That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. "Well, it's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for sorrow. It's for disappointment and for pride." The angel looked at God and said, "You're a genius." And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put that there. I didn't put that there." Mamas, please hear me today. You are God's promise, and God's promise is your potential. It's your potential. Let's pray today. Jesus, thank you for today. We celebrate in the fact of knowing that today our brother and friend, George Farrell, is dancing and singing very loud and hugging everybody in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you welcomed him with the biggest hug that he's ever received in his life. I thank you for our mamas today. I thank you for my mama, who's not here, thousands of miles away in the Philippines, and I pray for her and her safety. And I thank you for who she's become and been in my life. And I thank you for my mother-in-law, who is a steadfast image of God's grace, who's here with us this week and glad that she can celebrate. And Lord, I thank you for my wife, who is simply amazing just because she puts up with me and doesn't, I mean, wow. And then to mention kids, goodness gracious, we need to pray for Ginger today. I pray that you would honor our service today. I pray that somebody out there, wherever they're at in life, might hear something that they've never heard before. And something might go off in their hearts and realize, I need the love of Jesus. And may that possibly be through the words of the special ladies that are going to be joining me on stage here in just a minute. I love you, I praise you, and your son's precious and holy, holy, holy name. And everybody said, amen. We have an exciting morning planned for you celebrators today. We have some pretty incredible ladies that are going to be joining me here on stage. COC's very own pastor wives. It's not a TV show. Just so you know. All right? And they're going to be sharing with you some vulnerable and honest thoughts this morning, specifically where it pertains to when strong mamas feel weak. So would you please welcome Miss Ginger Barrett, Miss Misty Balgard, Miss Erica Gores, and Miss Yvette Lincoln to the stage. give hugs?
Yeah, give hugs.
Love you guys. Have a seat. Have a seat. Misty's getting mics, isn't she? Awesome. Thank you, ladies, for joining us on stage today. Anybody feel uncomfortable? Awesome.
That is a really bright light.
Yes, it is.
It is a very bright light. Yeah. Now you know why I'm so tan every week. Well, let's jump right into this. I thought I would formulate some questions that might be able to kind of just let these ladies share from their heart a few things about motherhood that they've experienced. They've all mothered many, many different types of children. Some are older and some are younger and little. So hopefully they'll be able to meet you where you're at in your walk of life right now and may be able to speak to you. So let's first start by all of you kind of just giving a little bit of telling everybody about yourself, your family, growing up, and your family now.
Oh, okay.
Not it.
Fine. All right. Well, you know, basically, I grew up in a wonderful home. I'm so blessed to have wonderful, godly parents that just really instilled so many wonderful things into my heart and into my life. And I would honestly say that, you know, we had our ups and downs, but my mom is my best friend, other than you, of course. But she's truly my best friend, and so I'm so thankful for that relationship. And I have a brother, and so the two of us, you know, we kind of like each other for the most part. No, we do, but I just am so thankful for the upbringing. And then I met Josh in junior high, and so it very quickly his family. So I really do have two wonderful godly families, two wonderful godly moms I'm so thankful for. Now, as far as our home goes, I love kids, and many of you have heard my testimony before, but I was told when I was 16 I wasn't able to have children on my own, and that just rocked my world. But God has absolutely filled that passion in my heart through adoption, and so we have three great kids. Our oldest, Isaac, he is 15 and driving with a permit, and he's going to be 16 this summer, and a great, great kid. And then we have Caleb, and I don't even know what to say about Caleb. Many of you know Caleb. He's our special little guy. Brings so much joy, and actually Caleb really shows me a lot about my relationship with Jesus. And then we have our princess, and she's Cheris, and she is 7 years old, almost eight. So that's our family.
So I grew up in a rural town in the middle of Wisconsin, and with also parents who just love the Lord and just created a home full of grace, and I think really gave me the gift of understanding unconditional love and God's grace for me. And I have one sister who's 4 years younger than me, and she lives in the same town we grew up in, about a mile away from my parents. And today, let's see, I met Ben when I was 18, the first weekend at college, but we didn't start dating that weekend, but like 2 months later, we held out for 2 months. Yes. Yeah. And we have two kids. Micah is 8 years old and Savannah is six.
Well, I did not grow up the way they did. I am a product of what most of us are here, I think, in the U.S., sadly, but it's been awesome. So I'm from back east, New Jersey, grew up out there. All my family is from Puerto Rico. The majority of them are still there. My dad lives there. My mom was a single mom for many years, got remarried, and I'm a Navy brat. I have three brothers.
Oh, yeah, I had to think about that one.
Well, you know, because there's so many different marriages here. So I've got three brothers and three sisters, so it's a group of six, seven of us, including me. So, and my grandmother was the foundation in our family for learning about Christ. So that was awesome that I did have that. And here now, I have, how many kids do I have?
63.
I have 63 kids.
Yes,
I've
63.
Lost count. We have, yeah, and counting. We have one little girl, Talia. She's adopted. And we have one, two, three, four, five boys, one of which is adopted also. And it's been awesome. We have every personality you can think of in the household at any given moment. And we're here now serving the Lord.
Well, my name is Misty, and I was, thank you. Thanks, babe. He never does stuff like that, ever. I think I was born and raised here in Arizona. I think I'm the only native on the face of the planet, and grew up in a Christian home. Matt and I met, and he was quite the opposite. So our two families, we met at a camp, and he saw me and said, "What's my wife doing here?" And we had never even met yet, so he's a little bit of a prophet, I guess. But so we ended up getting married and had our daughter Rylan, who is 14. We have Emmy 2 years later, who is 12. And then through a really, really amazing long story, we ended up being able to adopt our son Hunter, who is going to be 7 in a couple months. So he's known through our family as the Whirling Dervish. If you don't know what that is, you'll have to look it up. And yeah, that's all of us.
Awesome, awesome. Why don't you guys basically... And you don't all have to answer, but if you want to, that's fine. What are some of the greatest rewards that you have experienced thus far in your momhood?
I'll go. I think that one of the most amazing things for me in being a mom is how much having my kids has changed how I view how God sees me. And just, I don't think before I had kids I had the ability to understand how God could be maybe both frustrated with me and completely in love with me at the same time. But I feel that a lot for my kids. And so just understanding how that works, and I feel like it's just really deepened my faith in understanding what it means to be God's child because of how much I love my kids. And feel frustrated with them at the same time.
Anybody else want to take a shot at that one?
I think that a huge blessing for me is that our kids, we get to have so much fun with them and just being able to be a family and hang out. And, you know, every family has its dysfunction. Matt always says, we put the fun in dysfunction. And but yet we just feel like a unit and being able to serve God together. And we were talking about how our kids have been in ministry since the day they were born, and how we get to do that together has been a huge blessing for me.
I'm kind of piggybacking on that a little with Misty, is just that seeing our kids mentor and learn to love others the way that we try to teach them, but that knowing that Jesus is the ultimate one that teaches them everything, and just seeing them exemplify that within the community and with their peers, that to me is huge. It's awesome to see that.
You want to share?
Sure.
Okay.
I think mine's just very short, but there's nothing like when your kids give their life to Jesus. That I think that's for me probably the most exciting thing, rewarding thing. And another rewarding thing for me is when they still call me mama. that's just a little win, but man, that's very rewarding when I'm a mama, not just mom. So I like that.
She makes me call her hot mama. All right. Okay. Guys, if you're out there, this is one that you need to listen to, all right? Kids, if you're out there, you need to listen to this, because this is kind of going to open up the door. But in your lives, ladies, so far in parenting, being a mama, what are the times, and we're not going to share the experiences, We're going to get there in a minute because we're going to get a little bit more. But I want to know the times in your life that you feel the most weak and vulnerable as a mom. And you can be specific about not the event. Again, we'll get there in a minute. But what do you do in those moments? I bet a lot of ladies and men would like, hey, yeah, I'd like to know what I need to do for my wife when she feels like that or whatever. So you understand the question?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go. you know, it's so interesting how God does this. When he asks you to do something, he usually puts you right in the middle of what you're talking about in order to, I think, convey a clear message. But, you know, I feel weak most of the time as a mom, and I don't know if you all, or maybe it's just me, but I literally feel like being a mother is the hardest job there is. And so I feel weak a lot, but I think the times I feel the most weak is when I can't control the situation, and that's most of the time. That's most of the time, not being able to fix things. When you hate to see your kids hurt, you hate you just don't like that, and you want to fix. And so I feel weak in that. And actually, one of Caleb, he's amazing at showing me that it's okay to be weak. And this I might just cry on this one, but you know, Caleb, he's our nonverbal child. There's a lot of things he can't do for himself. And so, but he is totally fine with me providing everything for him, without even second guessing. So if he just sticks it out his hand, like, okay, here, I mean, give to me. I mean, that's just basically what it is. He just sticks his hand out, and without thinking twice, that I am his provider. And so I don't know how many times I've looked at him and said, you know what, it's okay for me to be weak. And in that moment, I just have to fall on my knees and pray. Because God ultimately is the only one that can and will fix. He's the only one that can and will control those circumstances. And thank goodness for that. Thank goodness.
I can say this because he's not in here, but when I feel weak, I just have one word, and it's Hunter. there's times when I just don't know what to do with him. And I'm like, he is 6 years old. but just times where, you know, we don't always have the same personalities as our kids or think the same way that they do. And when there's stuff that he does that I'm just have a loss for words as to what to say, that makes me feel like a horrible mom. Mm-hmm. It really does, because it's just like I should know how to direct him or correct him, or I should know the verse to say, the scripture to quote that can fix all this. And sometimes I just have to throw up my hands and yell, Matt, come take care of your son.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, that's, for me, it's you know, the times when they're being hurt or challenges in life, because this world can be so ugly. You want to be the mama bear and get ugly, and you can't because you need to set that example, and so you have to hold back, and that's hard. So just helping them to try to cope and manage life as best as possible. But I cry, and I pray. That's what I do, and I yell for Matt because I'm like, I can't do it. Here you go. So there are those moments.
I think that I, in a lot of ways, am fortunate that my kids are young enough that I still have a lot of control over their lives. So I'm sure my answer will change, you know, over the next 5 or 6 years. Yeah. Oh, 2 more years? I thought 5 or 6 more years. But I think oftentimes I feel the most weak when I'm struggling with them. And just wanting to, like, patience is not my strong suit, which Ben and both my children can attest to. Mm-hmm. And so those times when I feel really overwhelmed and I respond to them in a way that I don't want to, makes me feel really weak. And it's really easy to get down on yourself in those moments. And so one of the things that I do to help myself, which I think ultimately helps my kids, is kind of change how I'm thinking about myself in that moment. And so one of my goals that I always say is, no matter what has happened in a day, if my kids go to bed and in that moment they know that I love them, it's an okay day. And so to me, it's about, you know, apologizing if I responded in a way that was less than great. And just making sure that at the end of the day, like, we're okay. And since that's my bar, it's actually a pretty easy bar to meet. And so we can have had lots of failures throughout the day, but if at the end of the day we're okay and they feel loved, then I can forgive myself for the rest of the stuff and try to do better the next day.
Your kids are screwed because you're a counselor. She's like Yoda. These are not the actions you're supposed to do.
They're either screwed or they're going to make awesome spouses someday because they're going to, like, really know how to talk about their feelings.
That's awesome. She just wanted to say screwed on stage. So. Okay, let's get vulnerable. Would any of you care to share a moment or an experience in motherhood that has been one of your greatest challenges? And what did you do to basically get through that experience?
Jeshua is graduating. So that is tough. And I have to let go. To some degree, not totally, but as a mom, because I won't, but I do have to let go and let God do what he needs to with him. I mean, I let him drive down 347 practically every day, so if I can get past that, don't pretend, you know it's scary. If I can get past that and see him become the man who he is in Christ, why do I get so scared? Why am I worried? So I need to let him go.
I think one of my greatest challenges is allowing, kind of the same as letting go, but allowing your kids learn the hard way and make decisions for themselves and pick, you know, what friends they're going to be friends with and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And just knowing that the challenge, I guess, is feeling that every decision I allow my child to make could change their lives, you know, and it's hard to not want to control every single decision that they make, you know, even like what snack they're going to eat. If you eat that, you're going to get sick. If you're going to, you know, if you hang out with this friend, you're going to be in jail in a year, you know, just like stuff that just those daily decisions that, you know, we all want to control so much. And just the challenge is letting them learn. And being okay with that, you know.
So I think my hardest challenge is probably feeling like you can't let other people know that you're struggling. I think that's a big one. I think as moms, we really want to keep it all together. And you know, and I think, so for me, it's just been that overwhelming, it's pride, honestly, probably a lot of pride of feeling your kids need to be, they need to look like this, they need to act like this, and if they don't, then that's a reflection on me as a parent, and I think just that we all have parenting issues, we all have those moments of throwing your hands up in the air and saying, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do in this moment. And I think that's the hardest thing because you feel alone in that. And, you know, and I guess my heart would be that you moms out there, that you're not alone. You're not alone. And that and that we can be there for one another because we're all hot messes. We are just all hot messes. And, I mean, my kids can totally attest to that. And so I think just being vulnerable and knowing that it's okay that I'm not going to have dinner every night. It's because we don't, maybe once, I don't know, it's horrible, but it, you know, but that we don't have family devotions all the time, we don't, so all these expectations I think that we have on ourselves can be really hard on a mom, and so I, one of the things that, again, I've just really, in the last year, probably have learned just prayer. Just prayer, prayer, prayer. And I was having a really difficult time actually last week. And it was one of those throw your hands up and say, God, I just don't know. I just don't know. And God is so good to give you just little glimpses that he's right there where you are. And so my devotion for that day basically said, parents, moms, you can be obstinate prayer warriors for your kids. Fear, because I think sometimes parents, we fear everything. We fear they're going to get sick. We fear they're going to make the wrong choice. But fear can create you to either be a parent of paranoia or, to the other extreme, a parent of permissive, just permit everything. And so how do you balance those two? You balance those by prayer. Prayer is that thing that just kind of brings it to the middle ground. And so that's just how it's prayer. I have a hole in the wall in my closet, and I literally have to crawl in there. I'm not even joking. I have to crawl to get in there. But that's where I go because that's where I find the most comfort.
All right. The question that probably everybody wants to hear today is, who's your favorite child?
It depends on the day.
I can actually answer that question.
Oh, my God.
The beauty of having one boy and one girl is all the time I say to them, Micah, you are my favorite son, and Savannah, you are my favorite daughter, and I can get away with that.
Yeah. You started with Micah first, and then Savannah second.
Well, and then if they say, but who's your favorite kid, then whoever asked, I pick the other one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yoda. Okay. Last hard question, really, and then one last thing after that. Just putting it all on the table right now, all right? Because I think a lot of ladies and everybody out there would appreciate that just hearing, especially from our pastors' wives, that you don't have everything together, and to assume that is a difficult thing.
They
so
walk in my bedroom and see that.
Yeah. What are maybe some of the areas that you think, and you're just willing to be open and honest, that I've failed the most in this area of mothering, have you seen improvement with that, or what have you done to strengthen those weaknesses? Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's obvious you don't want to stay there, but are you willing just to say, I really stink at this and in that area? So,
yeah, definitely. I have to choose just one. I feel a lot of times where I struggle is in the area of just giving my kids the time that they deserve, and it's so crazy how when you spend that focused time with your kids, there's such a huge difference in everything else. Matt and I were just talking about it, even with Hunter yesterday. Matt said, I think Hunter just needs, and all of our kids just need focused time. And, you know, it doesn't have to be even a long time, but every day just to be able to focus on each kid. And I am not good at that. I'm really not. I mean, I feel like we're together all the time, but it's like, are we really together? You know, and with all the electronics and all the sports and all the, you know, it's like, are we just, are we just kind of roommates, or, you know, am I actually pouring into my kids and into our family? I don't do the best at that. There's times when, you know, I have a long day of work and putting up with Pastor Josh all day. And, no, just joking. And my husband and Erica's husband.
Shoot us all three, dude. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Well, he doesn't work in the office.
That's because he doesn't work in the office.
Okay.
If he did, he'd move to the top.
But what I'm saying is we all have a lot going on, and some days I just want to go home and just lay in my bed and, like, play games on my phone. Amen. This is amen. And then I'm laying there, and I hear a, Mom, will you make me a peanut butter jelly sandwich? Mom, I need help with my homework. And there's times where I just don't answer.
That's good. That's good.
I lay there and I'm like.
So now you know what it's like to be a man. We don't answer.
Props to my husband, though. He is probably the most amazing. He helps with absolutely everything. And I think that's huge for me. But so thanks, Ben. Love you. So yes, just the time.
Cool.
It's hard.
Thank you for sharing.
Time is a big one for me too, and having 65 kids in the house, it's like sometimes I just want to change my name. So it's like, time is a big one, and it is important because now seeing Joshua's 18 and graduating, I want to make sure that I've equipped him with everything he needs to be able to go past 347 and beyond. Time is big. That's one thing that's really hitting us hard now, seeing that. It's like, okay, now we have 5 more at home and then some, all our youth. So time is important, and they value our time so much that I want to make sure that that's something that we're constantly focused on. But, yeah, that's a good one.
Cool.
So I feel like mine is worse than time. And isn't that how we always are? Like, we think our weaknesses are worse than everybody else's weaknesses, and then we get all hard on ourselves and stuff. But, like, for me, it is yelling, which I grew up in a home with no yelling, so I don't know exactly how this happened, but, like, no yelling ever. But somehow these children, just pull this out of me. And the thing that frustrates me the most is that I don't really ever yell at Ben. Like, when we first got married, I probably did, but
Misty does.
Apparently. Misty yells at Ben. Yeah.
Apparently.
She says, get back in your office!
Gotta work!
You know, I'm sure when we were first married, I yelled at Ben, and then we worked through that. And that's what I'm, like, working through with my kids, but I just feel like I wouldn't, like, you could do something so frustrating to me, and I would never yell at you. And why do I think it's okay to yell at them? And honestly, like, no one frustrates me like they do, but that's not an excuse. And I can really beat myself up about that because I'm a therapist. And I will sit in therapy sessions with clients talking through this, like, developmental model we do about, oh, when parents do blah, 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 blah. And in my head, I'm like, I do that sometimes. And then I'm like, wait, focus on them. Like, they're the client. You're not doing your own therapy right now.
Do you charge yourself?
Do I charge myself? Yes. Yes. I charge Ben sometimes. Well, we'll get to the end of a conversation.
We don't need to talk,
like,
about that stuff right now. It's not what we're talking about.
I only work for cash.
Oh, my God.
As a therapist. Yeah. No, but, you know, it's about giving myself grace in that moment. And one thing that I'm actively doing to try to work on that is recognizing when it's coming and removing myself from the situation before it can get that bad. Because really, like, I'm 100% responsible for that. They could be doing anything, and they don't deserve to be yelled at. And so, or I will say to them, I have asked you 3 times, If I have to ask you again, I'm probably going to yell. I don't want to do that. You don't want me to do that. So go do it. And honestly, like, that seems to work. So it's giving them the threat of the yell. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I think a big one is balance is what Yvette and Misty were talking about. I tend to be very anal about things, and so with work and the house, except our bedroom and bathroom. But so I think those things really, I'm learning that those aren't the important things, and I'm needing to balance better, spending quality time with the kids. And then another one that I really get to feeling guilty about is that whole thing of you're irritated with your kids, there's tension in the house, you're nagging at them, and then someone calls you on the phone, hi, yeah, oh, and so your whole persona changes when someone calls. And so I think that is a big thing for me, is that my kids see me how other people see me. And you know, I'm sure, I hope we all kind of do that. I don't know, but maybe not. But, you know, I just sent my oldest son one of those memes that has the cat. When it's just you and your mom, and it's like the cat's like, you know, like this. And then when someone calls, it's all calm. And so that's something I really feel I need to work on is how I portray myself to my children as well.
And husband. real quick, in closing, having these ladies done a great job today, it's awesome. If you could just take 30 seconds or so to leave one piece of irreplaceable advice that you would say, I got the mic for 30 seconds to share with all the mamas that are here today. Something that you've learned so far from being a mom that's been a benefit to you, what would that be?
I think mine, and I always think, like, this isn't really a spiritual thing, but then when I look back at it, it really is. My mom always taught me from the time I can remember, she always said, kill them with kindness. And that's something that I honestly, like, that statement goes through my mind every day. And no matter what's going on, no matter how angry I am, I think, okay, kill them with kindness, kill them with kindness. You know, how can something get in between your relationship when you're trying to be kind, or, you know, always putting others ahead of yourself? And that just sticks with me, is kill them with kindness.
For me, it's just teaching them love, and that everyone is loved. So we should continue to love everyone no matter what's going on in the situation. We don't know anybody's story until we reach out and get to know the person a little more. And just be loving just to everyone around them so that they can carry that in them all the time.
I would say that as moms, to give yourself the same kind of grace that you give to other people. Because I think oftentimes we're the hardest on ourselves, and I know when I'm hard on myself, it actually, like, leaks out to my kids instead of just forgiving myself, giving myself grace, saying, like, well, that was not a good moment, but the next moment's going to be better. Because when we get caught in that shame cycle of, like, that wasn't a good moment, oh, my goodness, I suck, da, 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 then the next moment's not good either. And so just being able to move on from those moments and, like, love yourself the way your kids love you.
I would say love never fails. That's a big thing. Love covers a multitude of sins as well. And so when you can love them through that, I think that's a huge thing. Another thing is don't take things personally. As a mom, I have a really hard time taking things, caring, you know, how they might be, if they're hurting and they act out. Carrying that personally, and you can kill yourself carrying that, and so don't take that personally. And then also, it's okay to cry, and you know, and it's so cool that God, I think God wrote this specific verse in the Bible for women, for moms, because, and actually, if you even think about the formation of tear drops. Happy tears look different under the microscope than sad tears. They all have a different formation. And so there's a verse in Psalms 56:8 that says that you keep track of all my sorrows. You collect all my tears in your bottle. And I just forgot the last part. Basically, it's saying that he cares about all of those things. And so in my cubby hole that I have to crawl into, I have a bottle.
This is her sixth bottle.
This is my bottle. And this just reminds me that God cares about my hurt as a mom. He cares about the tears that I shed as a mom. And so that's just a reminder for me. So that's it.
Thank you, ladies. You have done a tremendous job. Awesome. Have a small gift. Happy Mother's Day for you as you're heading off stage. Thanks, ladies. Love you. Appreciate it greatly. Ginger, your bottle. Ginger. Ginger. She left her bottle. Does it have tears in it? I think you remember the quote from Irma Bombeck at the beginning, in closing today, where God was saying, as he was creating a mother, he said, I'm close to creating something very much like myself. And I suppose that's why today Mother's Day is so special. There's no doubt about that, because we get to recognize that a mother's love is relatively close in proximity and as an example of God's love. There's no doubt about it. It's 100% fact that every one of us have a mother. Yeah. And I don't know what many of your childhoods were like, if it was an absent mother, if it was a loving, caring, if it was an overprotective mother, whatever that is, you have a mother. And today is the day to honor your mothers. And it's not just a recommendation, it's actually a scriptural command for us to honor our fathers and our mothers, and I'm hoping that maybe you would do that today. It's a love that continually sacrifices itself over and over and over again, so it would even dare lay down its life for its kids. I believe that to be the case. So I just want to close with this illustration real quick, and we'll be done today. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and their two sons, his mother and father, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you do your work, you were permitted to live. But when you became too weak to do your work, you would be exterminated. And that time came quickly for Rosenberg's parents. And as Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, he knew in the back of his brain that his youngest son, David, was most likely going to be next, because David was somewhat of a frail child. And then living in those conditions of the Nazi concentration camps, it was only a matter of time. So every evening from there on, Rosenberg came back to the barracks after the hours of labor, and he searched for his family's faces. And when he found them, he would huddle them all together, embrace them, and thank God for another day of life. However, one day approached for Rosenberg where he came back and he started to kind of scan the room, and he didn't count all the faces. And after frantically searching the room, he finally found his oldest son, Joshua, and in the corner, huddled, they began weeping and praying. And he spoke soft to him, and he said, Joshua, tell me it's not true. And Joshua slowly turned and said to his father, he said, it's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him. Solomon quickly replied, but where is your mother? Where is your mother? And Joshua said, oh, Papa. As he whispered through his tears, oh, Papa. When they came for David, he was so afraid and he was crying so much. So Mama wiped his tears and she simply said to him, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. And then she took his hand and she went with him. And she went with him. That's what a mama does. A mama loves and is willing to give her life. And I think of that, friends, and I think of that's the epitome of what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. Been willing to give his life. Why don't you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed today? I pray, as everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I pray today that if there is somebody that's here that has never, ever, ever experienced the love of God that is so close to the love of a mother, today might be your day of decision. I pray today that if you have felt that you have had to walk through the valley alone numerous times, that today you heard some familiar voices on stage and familiar faces on stage that said, I go through the valley all the time myself. So I'll go with you. I also pray today that you will recognize today more than anything else as we focus and concentrate on moms. Moms are a reflection of God. So as you shift your focus and your attention off of your mom and you shift it on to God, he is the one that will walk through the valley of shadow of death with you forever. And he today is extending his invitation to you that if you have never, ever received Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, there is no other day better. When we lose someone close like our friend George, we rejoice because we know where George is. But the thing that often comes to me and the biggest questions that most people have is, wow, shock, disbelief. And you know what most people think in these moments? I have no idea when my last day is here. And friends, it's more than, it's confirmation. That's fact. You do not have a guarantee on tomorrow. So what are you doing today with the gift that you've been given from Jesus called salvation? Or what are you doing today if you have been constantly over and over been invited to meet Jesus? Have you said yes to him? Today would be a great day because I'll bet there's lots of mamas that have been praying for many of your salvations for quite a long time. That'd be the best Mother's Day gift you could ever give, to call your mama and say, Mom, thanks for praying. I said yes to Jesus today. We're going to sing a song. This is not the time for you to leave. Just a reminder. This is a time to worship. So stay where you're at. We're going to sing a song together. If today is the day that you want to say yes to Jesus, we have some incredible friends down here with lanyards on. They're called What's Next Counselors. They would be more than happy, they'd be excited to share Jesus with you today. Please don't leave here without saying yes if you've never said yes to him. All right, so let's worship Jesus. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for today. I praise you for being the God that you are. And I thank you for moms. Man, I thank you for moms. I thank you for my moms, Susie and Wanda. I thank you for my wife, who's a mama to three incredible kids. I thank you for reminding us all the time that we're not perfect. Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need a Savior. I pray that you'd move in someone's life today, that they would say yes to you. We give you today in your son's precious and holy, holy, holy name.